Oh God, what a high calling it is to be salt and light in the world. And to know that it is your flavors that work their way out through us. It is your light that we reflect and not bear on our own. God, open us up to live generous lives. In the name of Christ. Amen. So if you describe somebody as a salt of the earth kind of person, immediately I bet you some people come to mind for you. Salt of the earth kind of people are what? How would you describe them? Give me an adjective or two. When we use that phrase, what do we mean?
Devoted.
Grounded. What was the other?
Authentic.
Anybody else?
Humble.
Humble, kind. These are good people, right? Salt of the earth. We use that phrase, and I think back over the course of my ministry, and every church I can picture those people that stand out and immediately fall into that category for me. When I was in Boonesboro out in the country, my first church had a seminary. It was Dick and Kathleen Newcomer. They were our neighbors behind us. They were farmers. They had worked the land. They literally were salt of the earth kind of people that way. Very earthy, very grounded. But they kept an open table. They invited us over many times for meals. They invited others to share at their table. They were always there whenever the church door was open. And they just took good care of others. Salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. And then when I moved to Reisterstown, it probably was Ed and B. Guys are the first people that jumped to mind. Ed and B., he was a retired Secret Service agent. She had worked in the school system for a time. And when they retired at a fairly young age, they just put their energies and their passions into the lives of other people. They were the ones that headed up the food pantry, and they always made sure the people in crisis had something to eat and a place to go. And that was their job, to be there to fill that gap. And they were as generous with other people and other people's children as they were devoted to their own family. They had kids and grandkids in the community that they devoted themselves to. But it wasn't just them. It was their circle was wide. They were salt of the earth kind of people. And when I moved to Bethesda, I think of a young couple. You don't often think, we often put older folks who have earned this title into that category, right? But I think of a young couple, Albert and Laura Sim. I had the privilege of doing their wedding, and then I witnessed the birth of two children, got to baptize their babies. But when they were putting together their wedding, most couples come to me and they sort of jump to the celebration part. Oh, we got to make our way through the service too. But they had put together this beautiful, thoughtful service. They were always reflective and kind, and they just had gentle spirits about themselves. They were active in missions. They were active beyond the church and the community, even at this young age. Albert and Laura were salt of the earth kind of people. And when I look around this congregation, and when you look around this congregation, you know who I'm talking about, don't you? You see salt of the earth all around you. God's goodness, God's flavors making their way out into the world. You are the salt of the earth, it says. I love the way that Eugene Peterson translates it because it gives a new twist to this. It opens up the text in a new way for me, at least. Let me tell you why you're here. You are to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. Isn't that a wonderful way to express that? That your flavor ought to bring out the flavor of God's goodness around you as well. Now, sometimes Christians get the bad rap for being kind of bland or kind of boring or the ones who try to tamp down all of the fun. But friends, if we are following Christ with our whole hearts and passionately, we ought to be the people that are most alive. We ought to be the people that are most filled with joy and life and spirit and the kind of people that draw that out in others. There ought to be a spice to our lives. There ought to be this seasoning to our lives. And what we are called to do is to make space for that in other people. And it might be as simple as taking the time to listen and draw something good out in someone else. It might be offering an affirmation, somebody who needs encouragement. It might mean just being there for a friend who needs you. It might mean offering compassion in a very tangible, kind sort of way. You allow space to bring out God flavors in the world. Now, the next line that follows is something we're just as equally familiar with from the scriptures, this call to be light. We are called to be light in the world, bringing out the God colors in the world. Isn't that a great way to think about it? Light, that's what light does. Light allows us to see color in the world. Light is what, it's reflected light that brings your blue shirt to me or your orange sweater, or all of those colors are here because of the light that is impacting them and then reflecting off of those things. You don't have to look long or hard or far to find the light that emanates from this congregation and all the colors that get drawn out of it because of it. If you just look over the last couple of weeks, we've packed 100 flood buckets in way less than 100 minutes. We are sorry, there was nothing left for you to do. The 11 o'clock church people showed up and there was nothing left to do because people had so joyfully and passionately packed those things. But because of your compassion as a congregation, these flood buckets will show up in a place that faces a tornado or faces a hurricane and people looking to put their lives back together. And your light is going to shine in those community, even the people that you'll never meet. 2 weeks ago, your light was shining as you welcomed warmly Reverend Jane Lahaye, who was our guest preacher for the day from Sierra Leone. But not only did you make her personally feel welcome in this place, which is an important thing, you generously responded to her call that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's a church at Trinity United Methodist Church, and there's a school, the Jane Hartranft School, way across the world in Sierra Leone, in Moyamba. And you raised over $7,000 for those things by your generosity on that one day. And we've already directed the first $1,000 of that to go to pay for teacher stipends, teachers who have not been paid for 4 or 5 and sometimes 6 years. And so that's where that first $1,000 is going to go. And the missions committee is going to talk about where the rest should go, but some's going to go to the church and some's going to go to the school. And there are all kinds of amazing things that are going to happen because your light has gone forth from this place. And this week, this is a week that is full of light and goodness in this place. One of my favorite, but also one of the most bittersweet weeks of our year, when we're hosting guests for Winter Relief. I wish that we didn't have any guests that we had to host. I wish that all of our guests had a place to stay on their own. But because they need a place, you open up your hearts, and so many of you provide food and hospitality, and children show up, and they serve with such joy and spirit. Caloric love that's happening in that kitchen. I love this picture of Ted on the right. That's sort of the spirit I sense at Winter Relief all week long. This joyful serving and loving, this light that goes forth, these new relationships that form across boundaries, across class, across cultures, our separate lives suddenly become joined as one in Christ. Your light goes forth. Jesus says, I'm putting you on a light stand. Don't hide your light under a bushel basket, as some of the traditional texts read, but shine, shine with the light of Christ. Now, I realized in preparation for my sermon that I had literally put my lamp under a bucket. What I have, when I moved here and moved my office here, one of the sort of the most fragile and sacred things I have is this little lamp that comes from Israel. It's not as old as Jesus, but it probably is maybe 3rd or 4th century. And we bought it there. Holly snuck into one of the shops and bought it because she had seen me looking at it many times over. And I said, no, I'm not going to spend that much money, but she did. And so I have this wonderful reminder of what it was like to light a lamp at the time of Jesus when he's telling the story. And what he's talking about is these were like little personal lamps that you would take around to a different room of the house and you would carry it with you. You'd put the oil in the hole here and the little wick here, and then you'd place it on a high place so it could extend light to a large range. Just think about how one candle can light up a room. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if we thought of our lives that way? Some of us think of this call to be light for the world, and we are overwhelmed because we think of that. Good news is, friends, Jesus is that. We don't have to be that. Jesus is already the light for the world. We are called to reflect that light and maybe just carry our light like a small lantern or a small candle. Now, if you know anything about light, as a photographer, when's the best time to take pictures? Is it at noon? Absolutely worst time to take pictures. Middle of the day with full sunshine, you would think that would be great. That's like the worst time to take pictures. The best time of day is early in the morning or late in the afternoon when the light is soft and gentle and delicate. So here's a picture I took coming into the church one morning. I was walking through our little island garden out there, and this is just the gentle light. And if I had taken that picture at noon, it would have been a boring picture. But because you just see the gentle light flowing off those flowers, this is driving through Annapolis over the Christmas holiday. I was on my way to church again, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and the light was just starting to break through. And so I pulled over and I took this picture. It was this in-between moment where the darkness was giving way to light. You see the colors in the sky as the sun is starting to come up and the light posts are still lit. It's that in-between space, and that's where the gentle light is. What if Christ is calling us just to bear enough light to break the darkness? Just enough light. Not enough light for the whole world, but just enough light so we can break the darkness for one neighbor, for one friend, for one person who needs us. I have to tell you, I get the privilege as one of your pastors of seeing that happen all the time here. Seeing you offer that to each other, seeing you offer that generously to the world, seeing that in our guests as they offer it to each other as well, and seeing it as they offer the light of Christ to us. Just what would your life be like this week if you saw yourself called to bring forth the God colors in the world, just to carry your one single candle, your one single lantern? Robert Fulghum, who wrote the famous book, Everything I Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. You remember when that book hit the stands many years ago, bestseller? And then he went on to write some other books. And he tells a story in one of his later books about being on the island of Crete at a multi-faith gathering. It was religious leaders from all over the world. They had been at a peace conference together. And George Papadaros was the presenter, and he had done a wonderful job, and they were wrapping things up. At the end of the seminar, he asked the kind of question that people often ask at the end of a seminar. Any final questions? Like, let's wrap this up. Any final questions? And Robert Fulghum describes himself as being a little bit of a troublemaker in this regard. And he raised his hand, and he said, yes, I've got one question. What's the meaning of life? A little question like that at the end of a seminar. Only George Papadaros took him seriously. And he went on to tell a story. He took a little piece of glass, a little piece of a mirror out of his wallet that he would carry with him. And he told this story about being a child on the island of Crete. And it was when the Germans were occupying the island. It was during World War II. There was been a German motorcycle that had gone by, and the side view mirror had snapped off. And so there was a little piece of glass on the ground. He picked it up as a kid, and he sort of rubbed down the edges so it was smooth and it wouldn't cut his hand. And then he would take that little mirror and practice reflecting light. He said the best place to do it was at night in his bedroom when all the lights were out in his room, but the door was open just a crack. And so there was a little bit of light coming on, and he would take his mirror and try to reflect it into the darkest corners of his room. It became a challenge and a bit of a game for him as a child. And he said, as he grew up, he discovered that this was really the metaphor for his life. This is what his life was about. He said, I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, change some things in some people. That's the key line here. Change some things in some people. Not do everything for everyone, but some things in some people. Perhaps others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of my life. This is the meaning of my life. Friends, what if we were to take the light of Christ in the world this week? What if we were to be the salt seasoning that draws out the flavors around us, the light that makes possible the color to shine around us? We do that not by being the source of light ourselves. We do it by reflecting the light that has come to us in Jesus. And so that people will look at us and say, not great job, Heather, or John, or even Chris or Carissa. But they will look at our lives and they will point beyond us to the one who is the source of our lives, the one who is the light burning inside of us, the one that we are connected with, and maybe you'll prompt people to open up with God too. Our openness to the Spirit, our openness to showing forth God's light and God's flavors in the world will direct people back to God. Friends, you are the salt of the earth. You are light of the world. So shine. Be tasty. And make room for the God flavors and the God colors that are all around you by your compassionate living. Thanks be to God. Amen.